Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning. Welcome. It's good to see you all. I'm Kevin. If this is your first time here, we're glad that you're here. I just want to start before we go any further in the service and let you know, maybe you didn't know this, but we have a large group of teens that are meeting right now at Camp Watermark, like 60-some teens and adults that are meeting. And so we're going to pause and have prayer for them at the start because they're having their last session as we speak. They've had a great weekend from the reports that I've heard. I saw some videos. They were great. What we're hoping there and what we're expecting is that lives would be changed. We also have, and I'm making this announcement and I'm going to pause and pray for this too, we have a group that is leaving tomorrow to head to North Carolina for hurricane relief. We have people from all four of our campuses that are going with Pastor Margaret tomorrow. That's a beautiful thing, and we ought to celebrate that. So I just want to pause and pray for these two things as I get ready to start here. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, this morning, we pause. We've already prayed. We've prayed for other things. We want to pray for these two specific things. I'm excited to hear the reports about what's happened at the youth retreat already. I pray that you would powerfully show up today. And while I'm praying for them today, what I really am praying, Lord, is that tomorrow when they walk back into their schools or Tuesday or whatever they're facing, that this weekend wouldn't just be a memory. It would be something that was real and a commitments that were made or remade to you. We also praise you, Lord. We've raised some money here to send to some people who have been displaced and are hurting. But we're glad to not just send money. We're glad to actually send people to be your hands and to be your feet. And so I pray for Pastor Margaret and the group that's going, that you would just be so powerfully evident in and through them as they minister to hurting people. We're grateful, Lord, that this is part of the mission of who you call us to be. We're the church. And I'm excited that we get to show up in these moments. For the rest of this service, Lord, we give this to you. Today's going to be a powerful day. People are going to be confronted with your word and a chance to make a decision or maybe a new decision for the first time. It's in your name I pray, amen. If you were here last week, you know that we had a powerful service. It was mostly on prayer and worship. But we paused and we're going to finish today what we've been studying for now 8 weeks. Today's actually the 9th week of the book of Joshua. So today is the final, the plain lands today. And whether you've been here or not, and some of you will say, well, I've been here some, or this is my first time here, this isn't going to give you a total summary, but I want to catch you up to speed. I think it's good practice if you go back to the beginning and you say, well, where have we been and what's happened? And there'll be some other people that will appear in this video that will sort of catch you up to speed. Watch this.
David had done the will of God in his own generation. Why don't you put your name in there? What's the will of God that you're being asked to do in your generation? No, that's for them. That's for Joshua. That's for David. That's four times. Four times in 18 verses, God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. Be strong and only courageous. Only be strong and courageous. God, before he issues this command, reminds them of his presence. I will go with you. Now, be strong and courageous. We all were rehabbed. Outside of the finished work of Christ's redemption on the cross being applied to our lives, we are rehabbed. The Word of God tells us that we're all enemies of God outside of Christ. And the sobering reality is this today, friends. Some of you might still be there today. Maybe you have some sort of reverence and fear of God, but you've not trusted him. to the point of action, and you're just living the same old story of self-indulgence and sin and shame. Recognize we all were Rahab, but recognize Rahab's faith and recognize God's faithfulness. I think there's a group of people here who would sit in this chair and they would say, that's a nice story. It sort of has like a Disney ending. They made it through the water and they piled up some stones and there's some symbolism in there. But the truth is, Kevin, I really don't believe any of that. I think there's another group of people here who are sitting here today, or maybe you're watching online, and you would be represented in this chair, and this chair, you would say, we're here today. I don't know why you'd be yelling at us about that. We give some money. We try to teach our kid good morals. And so there'd be probably a bigger group that would sit in this chair than that chair. And then there's this chair. And this is the chair that would represent a group of people who would say this. My kids, my grandkids, the people around me, my nephews, my nieces, everybody in my life, they would know there's only one central thing that matters, and it's a life that is completely abandoned and sold out to God. Are you listening? We're living in this chair, and we're hoping our kids end up in that chair. Let me live right here and hope they end up there. And then there's the group that's outside. And I wonder after like day two, day three, day four, I wonder if they went to Joshua and like, hey, are we going to do something here? Are we just going to walk? That's our strategy? Are we going to pull the bow and arrow? What are we doing here? And the strategy is very simple. I want you to do this once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, the number of completion, the number of perfection, creation, by the way, 7 days, on that day, I want you to do it 7 times. And then I want you to let out the greatest shout, trumpet cry, that history has ever recorded in Scripture. What a strategy.
We're used to characterizing God as loving and gracious and merciful. He's a merciful Father, and these things are true of our God this morning. He is loving. He is gracious. He is merciful. But without understanding His holy justice, we can never truly grasp, appreciate, or enter into His grace. If we can't face and understand what He's saving us from, it's hard to understand the beauty and gift of His grace. And there is nothing worse not acknowledging that sin, because I'll tell you this morning, we don't want to miss out on His grace.
Usually the first time you skydive with an instructor attached to you. And the instructor wears a parachute on his back, and the student is secured with a harness that links to the instructor's parachute. And then the instructor takes charge of the student's safety. He takes charge of the equipment. He takes charge of the movements in the air. What would happen if the person skydiving overestimated their ability and thought midway through the fall, you know what? I don't need this instructor. Anybody can jump out of a plane. I think I'm just going to detach my rig and no longer cling to him. He's going to fall to his death. The instructor is the one wearing the parachute. And no one in this room is going to blame the instructor for the diver's choice to detach. He knew the consequences. In the same way, God lays out the consequences if the Israelites choose to not cling to Him, to not tether to Him. Joshua reminds the Israelites that they can't do this on their own, so they need to hold fast to God. And this verse calls them to loyalty and to perseverance. And He's reminding them that their success is rooted in their relationship with Him.
Y'all caught up? Three of those preachers were really good. I don't know about the other one, but I like three of them, yeah. It was a chilly night in January 49 BC. It was actually January 10th, 49 BC. Here's a rendering of what happened, because we don't probably have an actual picture of this. This is a rendering of the story of Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar has been issued a decree from the Roman Empire They are weary of the fact that he is gaining momentum, he is gaining popularity, he is gaining too much power, and they tell him, you need to do the following. Now, I've heard this phrase for a lot of my life, and I never really knew till 2 weeks ago, and I actually read the story, where exactly did this come from? It was in this moment, on a January cold, chilly night in northern Italy, that this man, leading a small band of troops, looked at them and said, we are going across this river, and we are not going to do what they've asked us to do, and we, in fact, are going to take over this portion of the Roman Empire. Now, there's a lot of reasons behind that, but in that moment, on that night, January 10th, he looks at his group, and he says, I need you to follow me, and we're going to cross the Rubicon. Many of you have heard that statement. Many of you may already know that story. If you're sitting here today, for some of you, this will be another opportunity to cross the Rubicon. I'll come back to that at the end. Joshua chapter 24, here's what he says. Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. What had happened at Shechem? All the way back in the beginning, he didn't just randomly choose this spot between two mountains. Joshua brings these people. He's 110 years of age. It's the last chapter. He's done a lot of life with them. He's led them to a lot of places, and he brings them to this point on purpose. And they would have known, even though some of them wouldn't have like been alive in those moments, they would have heard all the stories going all the way back to Abram before he was Abraham, that God made a promise. And he promised to Abram before he became Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to give you this land, the very land that Joshua is standing on. He brings him to this spot, and he says, here's where it's going to happen. Before I leave, I got one more message for you. And it was like this sacred, holy spot. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't like, well, let's go down to Rockbridge County. Joshua, intentionally as a leader, he brings them here and he says, right here, I'm going to give you one final message. Are you listening? I'm about to depart. And they would have been in that moment looking around, and as he begins to talk to them, they would have known, oh, there's a reason we're standing here. We've heard the stories from our ancestors. He summoned the elders, the leaders, the judges, and officials of Israel. He presented them before God. Joshua says to the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, living beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. What was the Euphrates River? That was on the other side. It was in Iraq. Listen to what he says now. This is God speaking through Joshua. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates, and I led them throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Verse 5. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea. Are you picturing this? He's reminding them. Some of them would have heard these stories. Very few of them would have even been alive to have been this. But he's reminding them. He's reciting it to them. Do you remember when I brought your ancestors right to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and the horsemen as far as the Red Sea? But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them, and he covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them before you, and you took possession of the land. Pause. There's two I's I'm going to talk about today. 13 times in the first few verses, God, through Joshua, says, I did this. You guys may have some talent. Your part may have just been simple obedience. I know you had to fight some wars. I know, Joshua, you asked the sun to stand still in the sky, but I want to make it really clear. Is everybody listening? I did all of this stuff. Boy, that sounds arrogant. This is God we're talking about. And God's saying to them, Hey, Joshua, your time is coming to an end. Ask them to cup their ear one more time. And could I just remind them, before we go any further, I did this. I did this, and 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 I did this. And I've got to tell you, why? Because people back then are much like we are. We forget. We have spiritual amnesia. We go about our Christian life, and we know for a fact that God has worked before. He's worked in some area of our life, whether it was at our job or somewhere on a sports field or maybe at a teen camp or maybe in a previous service or maybe somewhere in your family, and it's as if we get a month or two past it, and we forget. Well, where are you now, God? What have you done for me lately? And he comes back to him, and he says, I want to remind you. I want you to look back for just a minute. And I want you to think about all that I did. And rest assured, I did it. I, the ultimate I, did it. Joshua has some warnings. The central focus of this chapter, make no mistake, is in verses 14 and 15. And listen to what he says to them. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods, small g, your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods, small g, your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods, small g, of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me, Joshua, I'm about to leave. I've told you all that God's done. Just one more reminder. I'm not bragging when I tell you this. I just want to make it clear to y'all. Hey, COTN, as for me, I've decided I'm going to serve the Lord. And he doesn't just say it for me. He says it for his household. Now, we know that we can't decide for our kids and grandkids and but we can lay a foundation where we say, hey, in this house, in this area, when you're with us, this is who we are. This is what we'll be about. And mom and dad are going to make it really, really clear what's important. We're going to serve the Lord. That's what's most important. In 1997, I was living in Pennsylvania. I graduated college. I know that makes me seem a lot older than I really am, because right now you're looking at me thinking, well, you look like you're 25. This is a picture of RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C., which I hate because I'm an Eagles fan. Actually, this, I don't even know if they use this anymore. The Washington, which was Redskins, now Commanders, have a new stadium. So God bless them. You're supposed to laugh, see? I was living in Pennsylvania. I was a young man. And what happened in this weekend, it was a hot summer weekend. Some of you sitting in this room may have even gone to this event. They had what was called a Promise Keepers event. Promise Keepers was started because there was a football coach in Colorado. His name was Bill McCartney. And Bill McCartney had a pastor, James Ryle. And James Ryle asked the question one Sunday, if you want to know how your relationship and your marriage is going, I want you just to take a gander and look at the countenance of your wife's face. And Bill McCartney said, I knew I couldn't even look at her because I already knew how it was going. I was off trying to win a national championship, and I was sold out to football. Oh, I did love my wife. I just wasn't very present. And in that moment, he said, God laid on him this challenge that he would gather men who would be present in their homes, present in the community, and would take care of working towards racial reconciliation. So 1997, I'm post-college. I go with a group of my men friends from Lancaster, Pennsylvania area, and we drive to D.C., and on the first night, it's 1997, it's hot, it's an incredible, I don't know, there's 45,000, 50,000 men only. It hadn't gotten a chance to get smelly yet. First night, and that preacher of his stood up, and he said essentially this. Some of you tonight need to decide. Are you ready to cross the Rubicon, or are you going to keep living in two worlds? One foot over here where you know Jesus, and you like Jesus, and you'll serve him some, or you're going to go all in. Everything you got, total abandon, total surrender, because this is what he said. Are you listening? You're miserable. You're a Christian and you're miserable because you're essentially trying to split the fence and just ride, like you're just living in these two worlds. And he might as well, I don't have any idea who else in that stadium he was talking to, but it was as if that man that night, in that moment, I was sitting in basically left center field, was talking directly to Kevin Griffin. I was dating a girl, and I went home that night, and we broke up because I knew enough. What would you call that, by the way, in our Nazarene tradition? Holiness. A total and complete abandon. Because I was tired of the fight that I was living in. I believe Joshua in this moment is telling them in this moment again, this is a Rubicon moment. And you need to decide for yourself and for your household, are you completely abandoned or not? Because I'm getting ready to leave and I want to challenge you one more time. Just everything you got, are you all in or not? Joshua chapter 24, verse 23. Now then, Joshua said, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord, the God, and obey him. And on that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he reaffirmed with them the decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law. And then he took a large stone and he set it up there under the oak near the holy place of God. Listen to me. The word used for stone here that Joshua has them place at the end, which seems very odd to us. The word used for stone is E-B-E-N. It's the same Hebrew word that Jacob uses earlier when he encounters the presence of God and he takes a stone, E-B-E-N, and he lays it under his head and he runs smack dab into the presence of Almighty God. And Joshua says, I'm telling y'all what to do. I'm telling you, you need to sell out. But I'm going to place a stone up there underneath the tree right beside the temple. So when you go in, you'll remember this moment that we made a commitment. You're telling me you're all in. Well, I'm going to put a stone up there so when you walk in, you'll be reminded. I'm also going to remind you when you walk out, as you enter the world, you're going to see this stone. And you're going to be asked the question, essentially by the stone, do you remember the commitment I made? Maybe some of you already know this. A covenant is when they split an animal in two and they let the blood run together. And if the covenant was for Ruth and I would both walk through the blood and it would get all over our feet. And essentially what we were saying was, if we don't stick to the covenant, then what happens to us, what happened to that animal, may it happen to us. And Joshua's saying, I'm not going to cut an animal. I'm putting a stone here as a visible reminder. You're telling me you're all in. Don't forget this. So are you all in? When we had the idea of doing this Joshua series and this study, I gave all of the material to Brian Charette. And I said, hey, can you sort of synthesize this and formulate this for our life groups, these groups that meet together and re-study this material on a deeper level? And the title for this session, if you do it this week, he entitled it All In. Now, I'm not here to glamorize or say you should go do this. We don't believe in gambling. We don't support gambling. But I do think the scene from this movie says it well. Watch this.
Check. All in. 6 million. Bet. 6 million. All in. $5 million. All in. Bet. 6 million.
40,500,000 already. Raise only. Monsieur Bond.
This isn't a game of poker. This is your life. And in the first 13 verses, the word I is used 18 times. Do you know that I is in the center of the word pride? And this week I read an article that talked about the gods that our America is serving, the top 10 gods that we're serving. You don't even need me to give them to you. Do you know that I is in the center of the word sin? It's as if that's really how it should be written. Before I get to the last word, I just want to remind you as I get ready to close and invite you to do something today. I used three chairs last time, and the three chairs I used were the chair which would say, I don't believe any of this Joshua stuff, and then a chair that would say, I believe some of it, but I'm just, you know, like, this was the chair, by the way, that I believe in 1997 when I was sitting in RFK Stadium, this is the chair I was living in. It's almost as if I had one foot over there and I was trying to put one foot over here and I was just straddling it. This is the chair, by the way, though, that I said is the total sold out, abandon everything we got chair. What chair would that be? It's this chair. This is the chair. I is in the center of die. And you have to make a decision. Paul said, I die daily. And the number one God that the article I read, and I already knew it before I read the article, that people are serving is me. I serve me. It's the overall overarching message of everything our culture says to you. You ought to serve yourself. Take what you want. Get what you want. The truth is relative. It's whatever you believe. And Joshua's saying right here, before Jesus ever comes along and says it even louder, are you willing to do this? Are you willing to die? And are you willing to do it daily? Stand with me. All around the room, we have tables. And the tables have on them houses cut out. I'm going to ask one per your family when we start to sing this song of response. If you want, you should come and you should get one of these houses. And you can write anything you want on that house. It'd be great if you wrote your family's names somewhere on there. You may write this scriptural reference on here. Maybe you would just write across the house, "all in." As a one more visible, vocal, somewhere place it in your home reminder, we've made the decision. As for me, as for my house, we're willing to die. And we're not going to forget this. We're not giving everybody a massive stone today. But it is interesting to me that Joshua calls these people through visual reminders all throughout this book to say, you're going to need to remember this. Some of you need to recommit to this today and restate, I'm all in. And I'm willing to die, Lord. And I'm willing to go where you ask me to go and give what you ask me to give. I'm all in. You're welcome to come as we sing.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.